Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of the Words, Women, and Wisdom radio show, streaming live on BBS Radio in California and syndicating to over 100 stations globally. I'm your show host, Yvonne E.L. Silva, and wishing you greetings of the season. Such a beautiful time of year. I'm actually based in Calgary, Alberta, so I'm looking out right now, a beautiful blue sky, white snowy scenes that do look like a Christmas card, and it's just really a crisp, lovely morning. So my mission, if you haven't tuned in before to the Words, Women, and Wisdom radio show, my mission is to uplift the spirit of humanity. And I do that by showcasing amazing women who've risen from some sort of tragedy to triumph, from a point of chaos to confidence, risen to success, and are now making a huge contribution to their community and globally. And as a female founder and entrepreneur myself, a certified executive coach and chartered HR professional, I've helped thousands of people find excellent career choices in the past 10 years, supported senior women excel in their leadership, and especially in their confidence, their business confidence in particular. So today, I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are ready to flourish in business, to expand and engage their team, to grow their business with ideal clients and more sales for a sustainable business that's fun. We can have balance as female entrepreneurs and be great role models for our children. And an important piece of being resilient and being able to cope with what's coming at us is really being clear on what we can contribute and how we can ensure that we have a solid resource stream. So today's a special show. If you haven't had a chance to grab a pen, I encourage you to do so and jot down this number, because this is live with Q&A if you'd like to dial in, or just dialing in simply to say Merry Christmas or Happy New Year. The number is 1-888-627-6008. So typically I'm featuring amazing women. My last guest was Rasha Aldeeb, who had unfortunately tragically lost her 22-year-old sister to a domestic abuse scenario. And she talked about what happened in the story, a really tragic story of losing her sister, and then how she's been able to turn things around for herself, doing her own healing by actually taking her message out to young girls in schools and sharing what to look out for, the signs to look out for domestic abuse. I also had interviewed recently Melody Sheridan, who is actually a grief recovery specialist, and she talked about her own journey and what she learned when she had three major catastrophes happen in her life and how she was able to work through her own grief and is now doing that work, sharing tips, ways that women can cope with tragedy, but also the important thing about learning to deal through it. Don't just fluff it under the rug. So I've had some beautiful guests, very wise, very smart, and certainly women who have inspired me to continue with my journey over the past year and a half now we've been doing this show. So today's show is actually me. So I don't have a guest. It's a special gift to you. And I wanted to reach out in particular to some of my professional women colleagues for this show. I'm going to talk about confident conversations for 2020. So this is about how professional women can actually earn more. And I'm going to suggest can earn another $500,000. Yeah, really. So that's what today's show is about. I'm going to be diving into some of the content from my book and a couple of articles that I've written recently as I draw on this important information. And I think as women, it's just so important that we're really clear on the value that we're bringing to an organization. Now, mostly the focus for this conversation is around professional women speaking up. However, that could be a woman who is a business entrepreneur who's also wanting to speak up, speak louder, attract new clients, secure bigger sales, and elevate her income. So that's the focus for the conversation today. So I'm just going to bring up something that I wanted to reference. I also have, though, had a beautiful opportunity this week to listen to something super special. One of my previous guests, Michelle Mink, who's the founder for Calgary Cowtown Opera, actually released a new Christmas single this week with Johnny Summers. And it's clearly a song that she's loved for a long, long time and has been, you know, thinking about mixing this together with some other very fine musicians and studio technicians. So I'm just going to link to this this beautiful song and just play a short clip from it. It's called When My Heart Finds Christmas, and this is with Michelle Mink and Johnny Summers.
In my eyes,
there's just a short excerpt. Isn't that a beautiful song? Thank you so much for your permission to play an excerpt, Michelle. I really enjoyed having you on the show as one of my interview guests and talking about your story as well a few months ago. So let's look at this content. And again, if you're dialing in, the number to dial with questions is 1-888-627-6008. So I'm going to take some information actually from my book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Conversations, which was an overnight bestseller last November when it launched on Amazon. And in Chapter 7, I speak about this topic. I mean, my role is helping women who want to rediscover their inner confidence to take a stand for themselves in life and business by using powerful language and using it in modern ways. So when we think about the concept of women in business, it's really important to have an understanding of powerful negotiation. So negotiate, I mean, it can often be a challenging word for women. I mean, when we think about dealing or bargaining with others or preparing a, and if we look at the dictionary definition, a treaty or a contract in the preliminaries to a business deal, it can seem a little daunting. And so many women that I've been working with, they're coming to the business mindset with an energy of feminine energy. They're not looking to do business in the same way that our male counterparts do. So while the negotiation approach is still about bringing terms and settlements to a business discussion, managing or transacting or conducting an important business deal, it's about doing it in a way that is in alignment with who we are as women. Because almost every day, women are required to negotiate, whether that is in discussion, in preparation of a treaty or a contract, or sometimes it's negotiating for things that we're actually entitled to, such as leaving the office at 5 o'clock if that is your agreed to finish time, or having another family member pick up children from hockey or ballet, which will enable us to actually attend a special event or have time to simply lay interrupted in the bathroom for a few minutes of peaceful relaxation. I mean, if you think about it, we're only at noon today, but what have you already negotiated today? One of the most important beliefs that come up over and over again in my client coaching work with women is the belief that we are worthy of receiving. And when you speak up and ask for your needs to be fulfilled, you're role modeling this level of assertiveness for your children, especially your daughters or your nieces or female co-workers or your team members. Pretty much every time you're in a meeting sharing a new idea, inviting a potential client to a meeting, even going on a first date, you are selling an idea. And as women, We're generally community-oriented, we're very collaborative, and often hoping that the other person will like us enough to want to hear what we have to say, to appreciate our ideas, or to build a relationship. And I use the word relationship generally here, as your client relationships will obviously be different in your intention, your words, and your actions than love relationships. However, there are common elements in how we build most long-term relationships. So in order for a strong relationship to evolve or for a sale to take place, your potential friend or client must know, like, and trust you. So in the popular book, The Go-Givers, with authors Bob Berg and John David Mann, they share that, you know, all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. Now, you can increase the likelihood of building strong, meaningful relationships by finding common values as a starting point. And The Go-Giver is a highly recommended read, as it tells the story of an ambitious young man who yearns for success and is really a go-getter. And it often feels as if the harder and faster that he works, the further away his goals seem to be. And one day at the end of a bad quarter, he seeks advice and learns from other successful business owners how to open himself up to the power of giving through observing what Bergen and Mann describe as the five laws of stratospheric success. And pretty much magical results happen. And people who reciprocate have values of generosity and charity, or if they operate with a social enterprise mindset, a win in business is much easier. Look at the success of companies like Tom's Shoes, for example, where their business model incorporates giving one pair of shoes to a child in a poor country for every one pair sold. And that business has exploded in the past 10 years with revenues for the 12 months ending, well, that was last June, but estimated by Moody's to be $392 million. Is that a coincidence? I think not. His clients have become his sales force as they connect to the value of giving and sharing with those less fortunate. Now, our values are a significant factor in deciding who to do business with and which organizations will provide a great place to work. In our fast-paced working world, making confident decisions in a timely manner, much easier when we can anchor our decisions to what's important to us, to our values. A ship, for example, without having an anchor firmly planted in the seabed, is going to likely get swept to an unknown destination by the waves and the current. Versus once the anchor is down, it remains firmly in position. And when we have clearly, firmly identified values, these become our anchors by which to ground ourselves and to help make decisions. Makes negotiations much, much easier. If your values are a good match for the organization that you work with, sometimes this decision-making can offset an expectation. Sometimes this alignment in values can really be leveraged to build new business. So negotiation is a critical skill for women to develop. The data shows that in many countries, women are earning still less than men for doing the same work. I mean, we're catching up. However, we're still behind. According to Catalyst Canada, when I wrote my book, and Catalyst being a nonprofit that focuses on expanding opportunities for women in business, the comparative margin was 82 cents for every dollar earned by men. Now, it has crept up since that data was gathered, but it certainly sets a gap. In Canada, it's like an 18% gap, which is much higher than other countries. So improvement in wage gap, it's been minor since 1997. I mean, at that time, it was 77.2%, and so it has been going up. However, if we look at the AAUW, the American Association of University Women, that group proposes that pay equity will not occur until 2059. Ladies, do we really want to wait that long? We have an opportunity to move closer to equal pay for equal work, especially when we have the belief that we can negotiate successfully. So Linda Babcock and Sarah Lashever explored this topic in their book Ask For It, and they report that survey evidence showed that men are four times more likely to negotiate on first salaries, and that individuals who do not negotiate first salaries lose more than $500,000 by age 60. Wow, that's $500,000 of lost wages by not negotiating. Yeah. Now, while this number might surprise you, I mean, I worked in human resources, senior human resources roles for many years, making job offers to both men and women. And I observed a pattern that less women negotiated a salary offer. Now, how can we change this? Well, simply by being given permission to negotiate could be one piece. I mean, in our desire to be liked as women, you know, how often do we go along with other people's ideas in order to keep the peace and not rock the boat? And what cost do these beliefs have? What do they do? Do they keep us stuck and undervalued? I mean, think about it. What impact could having another $500,000 more in earnings have on providing for your family? Yeah, a lot. If you're negotiating something straightforward, asking for what you want and offering something in exchange is a simple way to have a business transaction, right? You find a dress you like, you ask for a fitting room, you find the dress fits like a glove, you pay for it, you leave the store with your purchase. Simple transaction. Doesn't really require a match in values because it's a one-time relationship, a one-time transaction where building a relationship is not really required. However, there are many circumstances where negotiations are really much more about an exchange than about the money. So keep in mind that you can negotiate the terms. The best time to be asking for a new amount, to be elevating your salary, is when you are changing jobs. If you've got to the stage of having an offer being extended to you, clearly they want you to be working in their organization. So that is a great opportunity to be stepping things up, asking for a salary increase. So even though many companies have a specific salary range identified, often the elements of the total compensation can be repackaged to meet your needs if you ask. For example, if you're a seasoned professional with 20 years of industry experience, being offered a standard of, you know, Canadian 2 weeks of paid vacation per year, you know, while that might be in line with legislated employment standards, might just feel insulting after all of your years of dedication building your career and industry knowledge. And in your previous role, you may have been entitled to, you know, 4 to 5 weeks of vacation, and your family time is really important. It's an important value for you. So negotiating to have 2 to 3 weeks, perhaps, of unpaid leave may be an option if the hiring manager is willing to recognize that your key skills are essential for the team, and therefore a higher starting wage, which will offset the unpaid vacation time, you know, and still keep their pay within their internal vacation pay standard, may be an option. The other thing to keep in mind is being really clear about how you're going to be measured for success. So when you're going into a new position, what is the best way to find out? And one of my colleagues, Catherine Brownlee, who's the founder of CBI, she leads a global placement company, she shared with me when I interviewed for her for the book that it was really, really important to have that clarity before accepting a position. So what she recommended asking at the end of an interview, before the employment offer is made, is asking, what is the most important measure of success for this position? And this approach enables you to find out what you need to showcase in your skills and your experience and your perspective that clearly shows you are the best candidate for the job, which can help in them appreciating why you're worth a little bit more time negotiating with. And it also confirms that for you, that the role is clearly thought through, and it will show you how your success will be measured once you actually accept the position. And if the other party is unclear how success is measured, just be mindful that you could be stepping into a role which is either too new to have those measurements, or it's an opportunity for you to create what value looks like. But if you know how the position will be evaluated, as I said, you can either highlight your experience where you've had similar functions, similar role, so you're minimizing the risk to your new potential new employer of then bringing you onto the team, which is a massive cost if they're hiring the person that isn't the right fit. However, it can open up a conversation. And negotiating a job offer, it's a bit like a dance. I mean, it can feel like a dance, you know, but connecting your values to those of the organization as you show how you can add value to the team is a very important common starting point. So, you know, find something that brings you together first. Mirror the other person's body language if you're sitting in front of them so that, you know, you're sending unconscious signals that you are actually on the same wavelength as them. And if they're leaning forward, lean forward yourself. If they're stepping back, step back yourself to show that you're willing to give them some personal space, as well as not rushing into conversational elements that are potentially a little risky too early in the conversation. And now in job interviews or other negotiations where there's, you know, monetary value, find ways to gauge how willing they are to explore. Maybe it's a salary range or elements of a total rewards package by listening for words like perhaps we could versus the range is already set or non-negotiable. Even through their words, they may identify whether there is a predetermined pay rate. And if you know how to showcase your skills and abilities and how you can add value to the organization, you'll be able to negotiate much more easily. So do some salary research first, so that when you're asked, you know, what are your salary expectations, kind of a classic question that comes up, you'll be able to showcase that you're basing your requirements on fair market value. You know, ask for what you want very clearly, then stop talking while you wait for their reply. In coaching, we use the phrase, let the silence do the heavy lifting. Same thing in negotiation. Resist the urge to fill the silence by talking and let the hiring manager reply first. So this concept is prompting questions. Again, that dial-in live Q&A number is 1-888-627-6008. So if you're not immediately happy with the total compensation package that's being proposed, consider letting the other party know that, you know, you were expecting a different number. However, you will give their offer due consideration and be back in touch with them shortly. Now, when I had been sitting on the other side of the desk and I was the one making the job offer, that statement would very often cause a response from me of, what number were you considering? Which opens the door to give the candidate the opportunity to share that, you know, you are aware through your market research that the average market rate for this position or this type of position is X, and therefore, with your specific expertise, you would like to reconsider a more robust offer. And then once again, you stop talking while you wait for their reply. Because we all know that negotiating is very often where the first person to put out a number is the person who ends up sort of losing the negotiation. And I'm wanting to encourage women to have that win-win mindset as they're coming to the table. So negotiating your first offer to the highest number possible as you join the organization is key, because once you've been hired, you'll often have a more challenging time receiving a high percentage increase, unless you're promoted into a role with a lot more responsibility. Salary increases are generally set as a range in larger companies, and often they're between, you know, 1.2 and 3.5%, depending on the economic factors in the local market. But when you move from one employer to another, you may be able to increase your overall compensation by 10% if you have a desirable skill set by negotiating at the time you receive the employment offer. And I would take the 10% versus waiting several years to receive up to 3.5% annual increase. Yeah, take that 10% jump right away. Sometimes if a company is reluctant to move to the different salary range, maybe that is a bit outside their range, then you can always talk to them about having clarity of when your next review would be considered. So you might come back and suggest, you know, many companies have a 3-month process at which time salaries are reviewed again. Certainly if we can agree to a starting salary, which is more in line with my past experience and expectations, then we can certainly revisit this in a year's time. So give them the opportunity, give them some choice and see what happens. So when you're looking at the bigger picture, instead of identifying a list of individual things in the offer, you know, you can state that the total package would need to include X, Y, and Z in order to be accepted. So, you know, in our discussions, I see that your organization has values of X, Y, Z, connect back to their stated values. And I can help your team achieve your business objectives in this role by leveraging my values of X, Y, Z, which shows how your values align with theirs. And based on my industry research, for a position with the level of responsibility detail, a total compensation package of X is appropriate. So try to avoid the words I want or I need. Simply state your position and then stop talking and wait for their reply without feeling a need to fill the empty silence while they reflect on your statement. So again, at the time that you receive the job offer, you have the most leverage to ask for appropriate compensation. The larger the organization, in my experience, the more structure is generally in place regarding salary increases. However, there's usually more flexibility at the front end of the process when you're being offered the position. So I'm just going to take a bit of a detour for a minute. A lot of what I'm talking about is about how you can negotiate and making sure that you do have the confidence and courage to negotiate. But it's really important once you're in the role to have that clarity in your first week. How will I be measured for success at the end of the first 3 months? How will my boss know? How will my organization see the value that I'm bringing to the table and make sure that those are the things that you are working clearly towards? All of your activities should be in alignment with those things. The other way, though, is to find ways to naturally showcase your success. So that could be in a status meeting or in a performance review conversation. Be factual using the following format. What you did, which is the project or the context, how you used your skills or values, the result, which is your achievement, shown in measurable outcomes, percentages, increases, etc., and the benefits to the team or to the organization. So when you string that together, the statement of your achievements could look like this. You know, I use my leadership, industry connections, and compassion to lead my team to develop a community partnership that secured $50,000 in funding, which will enable us to meet our impact goals. So it's including a statement of what you did, how you use your skills or values, the result you achieved, and the benefits which tie back to the team or the organizational goals. And I know that many women in particular aren't comfortable talking about themselves, blowing their own horn or bragging. That's how it feels. Consider this, though, with focus placed on serving and service first. Speaking about your achievements is simply a matter of pride. You're just stating the facts. You're simply stating the facts. Much like putting your own oxygen mask on first, you know, how the safety airline demonstration comes on every time. If you don't do it, you risk no one else doing it for you, right? So I encourage you to consider, maybe jot down a few notes after the show, what actions can you take today to increase your earnings? So from my book, here's a few action steps. You may have your own, but here's a few to consider. Begin with your mindset. Every single day, begin your day with a mantra, repeating a powerful acknowledgement to yourself in your bathroom mirror. It might sound really weird, however, I'm encouraging you to do it anyway. I am worthy. I am worthy. I am worthy. I am is a powerful daily statement to confirm to yourself. The positive energy created by your intention will support your desire to take a stand for what you really want. When you say what you want out loud, it is like writing it down, and it takes your commitment to a new level. And many of you may have heard about, well, I don't know if it's a study conducted or if it's an urban myth. The way I heard it was conducted with Harvard MBA students, that 3% had written down their goals, 84% had no goals. 10 years later, the 3% group with the written goals had earned 10 times as much as those without any written goals. So it's interesting that the 13% who had identified goals but hadn't written them down still earned twice the amount of those who had no goals at all. So whether that's legend or not, I've personally found that writing down my goals is extremely beneficial to achieving them, including one bucket list goal to write a best-selling book, which happened. Track your results in your journal. Note what showed up today. So sometimes there are things that magically just show up that are supporting us in achieving our goal. And that's when you know that you're really on track with your manifesting. When you track those results, then look back at a number of years prior in journals, it's amazing to see how your mind has expanded and how your goals have become more expansive. So find a way to start practicing. Practice your negotiating. Find one small thing each day to request so you can hone your negotiation skills. In everyday situations, find something in common with the other person first before making a request. If you meet another mum, for example, at a children's sporting event, your children may be playing on the same team or enjoying the same sport, so that creates a natural first connection in the conversation. If you have a colleague who's introduced you to each other, maybe he or she is the bridge that starts that connection. And women in particular, we often notice another woman's shoes or purse, creating a point of opening conversation, a compliment or a comparison if you have the same purse or the same brand. So look for something that you both share first and expand your conversation. I just had a coffee meeting with a lady recently, and even though we had talked once on the phone before, I won't share any names, it turned out very quickly in the first opening sentence of the conversation when I shared that I was actually going to an event that afternoon where my son was at the DDRC center having their children's Christmas party, that right away there was an instant connection with something that we both had in common. And it was one conversation, and it just turned into a beautiful collaborative conversation from there. So look for something that you both have in common first. If you're at a networking event, you know, find a way to be memorable as well. So that could be you being the MC at the event or the keynote speaking on stage. Or maybe it's about, you know, wearing something brightly colored in your clothing or funky glasses, sharing an insightful question or perspective in a conversation if they're asking for audience questions, following up with an article or an email. You know, one of the more memorable ways is to, you know, make the connection with the other person first by showcasing your generosity and your willingness to offer something. So I always like to have a gift of some sort that I can leave with somebody, whether it's an article I've just read, a TED talk I've just seen, a connection I just made that would be helpful for them. And if I can't think of any of those things and I'm connecting with another woman, sometimes I'll invite them to become part of my Women Wisdom VIP group and offering to send them a copy, a free excerpt copy of my book, so they have an opportunity to get a free gift and read that. So if you haven't got a clear date in mind yet, where you have a regular performance review or project review conversation, I encourage you to reach out, book the meeting with your supervisor. Book that meeting yourself if they haven't initiated it. Go through your activities, go through your results, make sure that they know clearly how your role aligns with the key initiatives and values of your team and your organization. Regardless if it's a formal performance review process that exists in your organization or not, you need to know that what you're doing is valuable. So take the initiative, book the meeting. And I've learned from a few of my colleagues that sometimes we need to still do this, even in large organizations. And one of my colleagues, Tasha Giroux, who's a VP for RBC, she's been with the Royal Bank for 25 years, and again, was someone that I interviewed for my book. She has had numerous promotions in those 25 years, and she's a very active participant in the bank's diversity and inclusion initiatives, and an advocate for having more women considered for promotions and included in the succession planning process. And she laughed, you know, when she said, I have no idea why I did this, but I've always had my own development plan in an organization, always. With your quarterly review every year, my development time goes to my manager, so I get approval for training budget for any training I want to take. And my plan, this is what Tasha's sharing, my plan was holding me accountable for the things that I thought were important for my own personal and professional growth. And I think from a woman's perspective, you never get what you don't ask for. Yes, I totally agree. The worst thing that can happen is someone says no to you, and it's not actually that painful once you get used to it. Most people, though, will never understand your intentions if you don't share. But people will also never say yes to something if you haven't asked. So, you know, don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for what you want. Hearing no, she said, can actually create some of the very best opportunities for stepping outside your comfort zone, beyond what you thought were your predetermined limits, and challenging yourself. It not only opens up many more doors, but boy, it makes life fun because you're continuously able to learn and grow and develop. Absolutely, Tasha. So remember, if you ask, you'll have a 50% opportunity to receive a yes. If you don't ask, you'll have 100% chance of receiving a no. So feel free, if you have questions, to dial in 1-888-627-6008. Your opportunity for a little bit of in-the-moment coaching on this topic, if you like. Just going to go to a short interlude, and we'll be right back in another minute. So one of the one of the most important takeaways I think I can share today is it's really important to know what your personal character strengths and values are. So there's an excellent tool online, which is called the VIA. It's a character strengths assessment. Although when I read it, I think it sounds very much like values. If you can't find it, just email me at Yvonne at wordswomenandwisdom.com, and I'll be happy to supply that link. Because when you understand your values and your character strengths, you can look for ways to align those with your environment and with the people you surround yourself with. Knowing your values can guide you in the partner you choose, the lifestyle you developed, that you can select work that you love, the culture of your team at work. It must match with the overall culture of your organization if it's going to feel engaging. So a simple example, if one of your values is excellence, working on a team that is sloppy rather than paying attention to the details will drive you crazy. So look for the signs that your strengths and values are aligned with those of your leader and of your team, as well as with the overall organization. So take that free VIA assessment online. Just click the gold button in the right top corner if you'd like to receive the free version, or you can certainly invest and get the full report. So I did an interview a little while ago with Alison Donaghy, who's the host of another radio show, Think Opposite radio show. And she says that confidence comes from within. The more we can know ourselves, the more confident we can be. And as she's accepted more of herself, trusted herself more, her intuition and watching what works for her and seeing success, her confidence grows. When we're able to acknowledge that we made a mistake and we're owning it, we're holding ourselves accountable, we can show up much more confidently. So feeling stressed at work can be caused by many things. However, when you're not using your strengths or there's a misalignment of work opportunities, responsibilities, work style preferences, maybe it's an overload, which could be a lack of personal boundaries, or it could just be an urgent project issue or a workload imbalance, then if you're not feeling that you're able to speak up, this can be a frequent stressor. So sometimes it's negotiating salary, sometimes it's negotiating a workload that is more balanced, that's fitting with your skills and interests and talents. So one of the keys to feeling more confident is knowing how to articulate your value. We talked a little bit about that. And you may have heard the phrase, describe your unique sales proposition. In the workplace, though, I think we all need to think about our PVP as our personal value proposition. So knowing how to describe this so it doesn't feel like blatant bragging, we talked a little bit about, how can you perform the same job that several others in your department perform and yet still find a way to differentiate your approach. So when you look at your values and your character strength list from that BI assessment, you can see how your characteristics may intertwine with the work that you're doing, enabling you to get it done faster or more efficiently. So each year, I encourage clients to reflect on, that sweet spot in your career where your skills, your interests, your talents, and your values all come together. That's where you can find your sweet spot so that you can be known as a team player. You can engage with others. You can be using powerful forward thinking and positive questions, inviting others into the conversation, and understanding how perhaps to suggest ideas that will alleviate problems or issues or be able to do something in a more efficient way. So you're showing that you can add extra value even outside of the regular work that you do. So if you're not sure where to start with this, reflect back on some of those action items that I suggested. And here's a few more to think about. When you're considering values, you know, where you're adding value to your current job or in your community. If you're not currently volunteering, consider what you're passionate about. You know, if it's an injustice that you get upset about or something that makes you angry, and find an organization where your skills and talents could contribute and make an impact for that cause. Maybe one of your children has a school volunteer committee or a joint charity project that you could work on together, so that not only are you learning new skills, making new connections, but you're increasing your bonding time together with your child in a meaningful way and role modeling the importance of having a social conscience and making a contribution. So think about the causes that you care deeply about. Think about what opportunities you could have for learning new skills, not always learning done through formal mechanisms, through university or continuing education or online courses, but through the experience of volunteering. And then look at how you are demonstrating value in your current organization. Are you saving the organization money? Are you reducing waste, unnecessary expenses or costs? Make sure that your leader knows that you are instigating ideas that can save money. How can you help increase efficiency? Is there anything that you can do to make improvements for your work team, reducing downtime, increasing research and development time to help get new products to market faster or quicker than the competition, or aiding in a first-to-market advantage? Are you adding new revenues? Are you contributing to adding new clients? Even if you're not in a direct sales role, are you encouraging staff referrals or creating new products or upsell opportunities, creating new lines of business for existing clients to buy? Maybe it's adding new markets or geographies, identifying new industry uses for your product. If there was maybe a slight tweak to the packaging, it could be repackaged with a different purpose. Are you helping to retain existing clients? Are you engaging clients in community projects or fundraising with them or with their favorite charity, dropping off seasonal gift baskets or offering a customer appreciation day, creating special offers for key clients? Are you helping to retain critical staff? That's another way that you can be valuable and show value to the organization. Engaging staff in community projects or organizing fundraising for their favorite charity, suggesting a rewards and recognition program, identifying how plum projects or volunteer activities could increase their visibility with the executive. Or maybe it's about helping them find a mentor inside or outside the organization. So in essence, you know, how can you summarize or highlight your most valuable contributions? You are extremely valuable. When you can showcase that, link it back to the objectives of the organization, of your team, to the metrics associated with your role, that's when you stand to be able to attract a much more positive salary review process and conversation, and to be able to showcase your value. So I hope today you've learned some new tips and some ways that you can be increasing your earnings. The focus of this conversation was really about how can in 2020, how can you consider making that value statement in a way that aligns with how we as women show up. So it doesn't feel like bragging. It's just a natural part of the conversation, showcasing our values. And if you're feeling like, oh, I don't know if I can have some of these conversations, I need some help to do that, feel free to reach out for me, to me, book some time in my calendar. I'm happy to have a conversation with you. As a trained, certified executive coach, I've worked with women at all different levels to be helping them to flourish in business. Generally, it's by having more confident conversations to be helping them to step into the best version of their self, living to their potential, whether that means expanding their integrity and alignment, about working with their team more efficiently and effectively, about showing up with their body language and their conversation in alignment. There's a variety of different outcomes that I work with my clients on. So it's really about stepping into having a conversation and acknowledging that, as I said, you'll have a 50% opportunity to receive a yes if you ask. And if you don't ask, you'll have a 100% chance of receiving a no. So if you are in a 2020 mindset, looking forward to what the new year will bring to you, I know I am, please calendar the next date for the Words, Women and Wisdom show in the new year. It's January 7th. They're always Tuesday, lunchtime at noon, as I will be putting a new focus next year on inviting women to share their stories who have a social enterprise element in their business as well. January 28th is the other date to calendar. If you're here in Calgary with me, the Calgary Petroleum Club, I will be hosting the next Bold Women 2020 event, January 28th. So watch for details, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. I will post it. If you're not yet on my Words, Women and Wisdom in my community, you can certainly join. If you go to the main website page, wordswomenandwisdom.com, and A-N-D is spelled out versus an ampersand, wordswomenandwisdom.com, you'll actually find a couple of tools. You can download that 3-chapter excerpt of my book that I mentioned earlier on. That would be my gift to you for Christmas. You can also access a quiz and some top 10 tips to elevate your confidence at work. So if you click on that download, you'll have an opportunity to be joining the Words, Women and Wisdom VIP community and receiving those gifts right away. So you don't have to wait till the new year. And then I'll keep you updated with other events, shows, interviews that are coming up, so you can plan for the show to be a regular piece of your calendar. And if you do miss one, they are also popping up on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and I always share an information link to any past interviews and radio shows. So what questions do you have about achieving your goals in 2020? If there's anything that you think is getting in your way that might be holding you back, or you simply want to have a conversation to expand the possibilities, to have a visioning session with me, do reach out. Let me know through Facebook, through Messenger, connect with me, and I'm happy to have a visioning session with you. Help you get that clarity you're looking for. Help you step into 2020 with the amazing new mindset that you can actually be earning another $500,000. You can be living a potential into your potential so that you're having a balanced lifestyle. And each of us has an opportunity to define our own version of success. And if that's not clear for you, please do reach out. I'm available to support you and serve you. I will be taking the week between Christmas and New Year's and stepping away from my business this week. However, you can also reach me on email, reach out through Facebook, and I'm happy to support you in the new year. So taking a moment, finally, to wish you the very, very best of the season. I hope you're happy, your holidays are happy and full of merriment with family and friends, taking in the sights and sounds, the festivities of the season, and wishing you a prosperous and successful 2020. Happy holidays, everybody, and bye for now.